My sermon today is Sister Act. Okay, and it's about five sisters in the Bible who were very brave, bold, and courageous women. I'm sure we all love to hear stories about bravery and courage, don't we? Did you see that one on the news the other day? There was a car on the motorway, and it just, in the middle of the motorway, it span, and then it caught on fire. And a guy just ran over to the car and pulled the lady out and saved her life. And such bravery. He was hailed for having such bravery and courage, which of course he was, and we would all acknowledge that. But courage and bravery isn't only about running into a fire to save someone who's in a dangerous situation or being in a dangerous job. There are many other situations in life that demand bravery and courage. Speaking up in situations, sometimes we've got to be brave to do that, haven't we? And doing something that we're really nervous about or feeling weak about, we need a lot of courage to do that sometimes. And taking risks and stepping out. And also it can just be facing situations that we would rather not be in or find difficult just because it's the right thing to do. And Jim Dick talks in his book about a documentary that he was watching, and he says this. I watched a documentary recently on Indonesian workers who daily walk into the mouth of an active volcano to gather sulfur. This entails breathing toxic fumes which severely affect their lungs. They carry baskets on their shoulders, which can be twice their body weight, and each man earns the princely sum of $5 per load. They repeat this dangerous occupation every day so that they can provide for their wives and children. Now that is a high degree of courage. So today we're thinking about the courage and bravery of five sisters. Their names were Marla, Noah, Hogla, Milka, and Terza. Pretty good names, eh? And if you think that's bad, their father's name was called Zilop he had. Zilop he had. Would you like me to help you remember his name? So here's two important facts about him, right? So his name was Zilop he had. He had five daughters. He had no sons. Zilop he had. All right? Five daughters, no sons. And although they're funny names, the names aren't important, because by the time we leave here, in fact, even now, you've forgotten their names. But it's what they did that is important, and what they were brave enough and bold enough and they're courageous enough to do not only affected their lives, but it affected women in their generation and the lives of women for generations to come. I don't know about you, but I want to be brave and bold and courageous, and I want to do things that affect my generation, but also that will affect, you know, people who are coming after me. So I just trust you will be inspired as we think about these five sisters and glean some lessons from their lives. So let's read their story in Numbers chapter 27. And I have to say again, my inspiration has come from Jim Dick. He's a great guy, has some fantastic teaching ministry, and so that's where some of my thoughts have come from. So we're in Numbers chapter 27. And verse 1. Are we all there? to see you, Doreen.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. So, Numbers 27 and verse 1. So the daughters of Zilop he had, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the sons of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they approached the entrance to the tent of meeting and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly, and they said, "Our father died in the desert. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." And so Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and turn their father's inheritance over to them. And say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, turn his inheritance over to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan, that he may possess it. This is to be a legal requirement for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses." So that's the story of these five sisters. And they were living in a time of great change. So the nation of Israel had just come to the end of their 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and these sisters were part of a new generation who were getting ready to enter the promised land. That's the scenario. What a time to be alive. They must have been really excited, you know, being young women all their lives. They had lived in the desert. That had been their home. They were like a nomadic people. They were always on the move. They never knew when they'd have to take down their tent or put it up again. And there were many trials associated with that, I'm sure. I would have hated to have lived in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, I wouldn't have been 40 years. But, you know, taking your tent down, putting it up, they never knew when they had to move. So that was what life was like for them. They were moving around all the time. But it also had been an amazing experience for them, because God had supplied them with miracle food and water on a daily basis. He guided them with the cloud and the pillar of fire. And they'd had clothes and shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years. It was an amazing time. And they'd experienced amazing things. But now change was on the horizon. And they had something very exciting to look forward to. They were going to move into the promised land. The place where they'd been heading for 40 years was now in sight, and they were going to go in. And no doubt they'd listened to Joshua and Caleb, because Caleb, they were sent in as spies to the land, and they'd come back saying what a great place it was, and they brought the grapes and stuff back. And so they probably listened to these stories of Joshua and Caleb. And I reckon these sisters, as they thought about it, they were really excited, and I'm sure they caught a vision of the future, and they couldn't wait to get to the promised land. So the journey in the desert was coming to an end. But then as they sat around their cooking pot in their tent chatting about the future, it began to dawn on them that things might not be as good and secure as they thought in the future. And it was for one reason. Because their dad, Zelophehad, he had five daughters and he had no sons. They didn't have a brother. And this meant that their inheritance from their dad could not be passed on to them, because in those days it had to go to the son. And so as they were looking into the future, "I haven't got anything. I haven't got any land. I haven't got any possessions." Because their father had died without a son. And you can just imagine the discussions that were going on between them as the weeks and days went by. You know, what were they going to do? what was going to become of them. And why should all the hard work of their father of years gone by not be passed down to them? Why should it go to someone else down the line in the family? And then one of them had an idea. And as they discussed it together, something was ignited in their spirits and a plan was formed, and they planned their journey into the unthinkable. So that's what was happening with these five sisters. They were talking about the future and they realized, actually, it's not going to be quite as good as we thought. At the other end of the camp, there was a massive, significant event taking place. Moses was down this end, and he was preparing for going into the land by doing a census of the whole nation to see who was going to inherit the land. All the land that they were going into, it had to be divided up between the clans, the tribes of the people. And so that's what Moses was doing right down outside the camp. He was organizing all this. He was deciding this is going to this people, this is going to that people. And who was there was Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, 70 elders, tribal heads, as well as every man above the age of 20. They were all in this massive event that was taking on. And they're working through lists of more than 600,000 men. And you read that in chapter 26. They were talking about what was going to happen to the land. And then they got to this man, Zelophehad. And they made a note. Zelophehad, he's got five daughters, so they're not going to get anything because he had no sons. That was the decision that was made. And then they moved on to the next family in the list. And it was into that scenario that these five sisters entered. They had worked out a plan, and their plan was, we're going to go and see Moses and the other leaders about this inheritance situation. And we can only imagine how they felt as they began to walk through thousands and thousands of men. It wasn't women in that group. It was all men. And we can only imagine the reaction of these men as these women pushed their way through the crowd. I'm sure they caused quite a disturbance, and the men would have been really surprised to see these women pushing their way through the crowd to get to the front. It was a men's gathering. It was men's business that was going on. When I first went into the ministry over 30 years ago, it was a man's world. And I remember vividly going to the Elim conference, because that's where all the ministers got together. And because I was a probationary minister, I had to go. And I was really nervous and I was scared, because I was very much in the minority amongst those 400 or 500 men. There was just a handful of women in the room. Some of them were perhaps visitors to the conference, and maybe one or two were lay reps. But there I was, a woman probationary minister, and I felt totally inadequate, intimidated, insignificant among all those men. It's not a comfortable sort of place to be in. So I can identify with how those five girls felt as they made their way through this group of men. Scared, nervous, frightened, intimidated as they made their way through the crowd of men. And then they were face to face with Moses. And this is what they said to him. Moses, our father died in the desert. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and he left no sons. It's quite interesting that they mentioned this man called Korah. And they didn't want their dad to be associated with this man, Korah. They said to him, our father, you know, Moses, he wasn't a follower of Korah. And there are four Korahs in the Bible, and only one of them is famous. And he's famous for being rebellious. In number 16, we read that he became insolent and he rose up against Moses. He had a gang of him, 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders, appointed as members of the council, And they didn't like the things that Moses was saying and the direction he was bringing. And so they came as a group to Moses and Aaron and they said, Moses, you've gone too far. In essence, we don't like what you're saying, Moses. And you know what? God hates rebellion. And as a result of this revolt against the authority of Moses and Aaron, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his family and his possessions and all the men who was with him. And it seems to me that these girls wanted Moses to know that they did not come from a rebellious background. Our father was not among Korah's a gang. And we're not coming to you with this rebellious attitude. We don't have that. We don't have that in our blood. Our daddy just died a normal death. And they just wanted to go and talk to Moses. And I just felt, as I read that, what a great example to us of how to deal with situations with the right attitude and spirit. We can't be a rebellious people. We can't be feministic, demanding our rights. We need to deal with things with a good spirit and a good attitude when dealing with situations that have to be addressed. And God will not bless a rebellious spirit. He's not only interested in what we do, but in how we do it and why we're doing it. And so they respectfully presented their unheard of request. No woman had done this before. And they said to him, why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives. And I wonder if a murmur went up in the crowd as these women said this to Moses, because nothing like that had ever been said before. This was a male-oriented society. It was a very brave, it was a very courageous, it was a very bold request. And Moses, as he was as stunned as everyone else as he listened to what they had to say, didn't know what to do. But I like what it says about what Moses did. He didn't just dismiss the sisters and say, go away. You know, even though he knew the rules, it tells us in verse 5, Moses brought their case before the Lord. And I like that. He didn't know what to do. And so he sought God's advice and wisdom because God knew what to do. And surprise, surprise, the God who surprises, as we were saying last week, said to Moses, you know what, Moses? What they're saying is right. You must certainly give them property. You must certainly turn their father's inheritance over to them. And I love it. Moses, what they're saying is right. These women were right. And I bet that was a shock for some because they lived in this society where women didn't do that sort of thing. And here was God saying, these women are right. And then I love what he says next. He says, you must certainly do it. There's no doubt about it, Moses. They're right. And you must do this. You must give this to them. And can you imagine how excited these girls were? God had agreed with them and granted their request. What an affirmation from God for them. God was pleased that they had spoken up. And it wasn't an unreasonable request as far as God was concerned. And he rewarded their courage and their boldness and their bravery. But there was more, because he goes on in verse 8 and he says to them, in addition to this, Moses, in addition to giving this to them, you need to make it a law for future generations that this will not happen again. And the law is, if a father dies and leaves no son, turn his inheritance over to his daughter. And this is to be a legal requirement for the Israelites for generations to come. And I wonder if these women, as they sat around their cooking pot, had even thought of future generations, or whether they were just thinking about their situation. They went to Moses asking for themselves, but in fact God gave them much more than what they asked for. What a thrill. God had used 5 ordinary girls to bring about a positive and far-reaching revolution. And Jim Dick says, it's not just the powerful personalities and the big names that can make a difference in society. Most of us have probably never heard of these five sisters, and yet their bold actions, their courage, has affected property rights for Jewish women ever since. And I think that's amazing. Because of what they were willing to do. The Bible is full of remarkable deeds, often done by quite unremarkable people. And listen to this brilliant line. These girls were not prepared to be spectators of big events. I love that. They had the courage to shape some of those events. It's easy to conform, but much more effective to transform. These unheard of girls were groundbreakers, and they shaped history by what they did. So coming to the end, I just want to leave you with three thoughts from the lives of these sisters. Firstly, they had a vision for the future. As we've seen, these girls had already experienced some quite amazing things, but actually their mind was on the future. When this whole incident happened, they weren't in the promised land, they were just getting ready to enter it. And I like the fact that these sisters were thinking ahead in anticipation of what was to come in Canaan. They were women of faith. They wanted to move forward. They didn't want to settle with the good. They wanted to move into the best. And they believed that very soon they would be in the promised land as God had promised. And they were expecting to conquer it and to take it as their own. In the midst of nation-shaping events with prominent players, Moses and Joshua and all these men, five unknown young ladies were catching a vision to have a part in the nation's greatest adventure, the promised land. So this little sister act had a vision for their future. They weren't settlers, they were go-getters. They were willing to boldly go. And of course, that's the great challenge for us today. You know, are we settlers or are we go-getters? Are we open to being bold, brave and courageous? Are we willing to do something new? Are we willing to step in to new challenges? It's often been said, if you want to see what you've never seen before, then you have to be prepared to do what you've never done before. We've heard that so many times, haven't we? And these girls certainly did something that had never been done before. Secondly, these sisters were united. Divided, they probably wouldn't have succeeded, but together they were able to face the challenge. And there's a little saying that says, united we stand, divided we fall. You know, these girls have got a vision of something bigger and better, but also they supported each other in the fostering and fulfillment of that vision. And we all need help in life, don't we? We all need support to help us through life. And lastly, as we've already touched on, Moses gave them a promise, but they had to wait for its fulfillment. And it wasn't until Moses died, actually, and Joshua took over that the people moved into the promised land. And in Joshua, we read that when the people went into Canaan, these group of sisters turned up at Joshua's door and they said, Joshua, don't forget what Moses said to us. It's enshrined in law. Our father's inheritance belongs to us. So make sure you give us what is rightfully ours. And so Joshua allocated to them their inheritance. I think it's a fantastic story. And here's a little thought for you. In Numbers 33, let me just read this to you. We're told that when the Israelites went in to take their land, they had to fight for it. And this is what they had to do in verse 51. It says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, destroy their carved images and their cast idols, and demolish all their high places. Take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. As I read those verses, I could only imagine that these sisters were doing their part in swinging the sledgehammers and bringing down the idols and grinding the false idols into powder. They were bold and courageous women, and I don't think for one minute they just sat back and just watched the men doing the work. I think they would have been in the middle of it all, I think, because the land was theirs. It was their inheritance, and they were going to look after it. It was theirs to clear. It was theirs to work. They had to make the best of it. They could do what they liked with it, but they had to make the most of it. It was theirs to make it fruitful and prosperous. It was theirs to pass on to future generations. And I can't help but think that these women, bold, courageous women, did everything they could to make that land the best that it could be. And what a joy it must have been for them when they finally stood on it and stuck the flag in and said, "This is our inheritance," and declared it to be their own. They went where no one had gone before. It always takes someone, doesn't it, to just, break ground somewhere. Why can't that be us in our lives, in different situations that we're in? You know, maybe be the first to do something in your workplace that nobody's never done before. Maybe be the first to do, I don't know, something in your street that nobody has ever done before. And so they saw it through to completion, and they inherited what had been promised to them because they persevered. So may the actions of these sisters stir us and challenge us to ask God for fresh things that he wants us to accomplish, and then courage to see them through. All through our time here that we've worked here, you know, we sought to be bold and courageous, haven't we? And brave, and we've worked for future generations. We want to carry on doing that as we walk through the coming years together. We're not only working for now, we're working for the future, for people coming behind us. We want to build what's good and strong, and we'll, you know, be productive. So that's my few thoughts for today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the story of these five sisters. Lord, they got their act together, and they just went for it, Lord, and they accomplished stuff that they probably never even dreamt of. And Lord, as we think about them, we want to be brave and bold and courageous people, Lord, doing the things that you call us to do and moving into territory that we've never been in before. And so we pray, Lord, that you will help us as we seek to do the things that you want us to do, Lord, and to just pray that we would live with the sense that our lives are so important for future generations coming, and the things that we do are so important for those who are coming behind us. So thank you that you choose to use us, and thank you because whatever you call us to do, Lord, you equip us to do it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you.